And so I think over the last few years, it's been successful to bring all the different groups together, and it's been exciting to see that, where people are starting to feel reconnected. And we've still got a long way to go, right? But the one thing is that the vision has two elements. It's a one community, but there's a second part of it that is growing Christ, serving love, and reaching the world. And that is to say, we want to now get back to the second part. We don't just want to be one community. We want to be a community which is actually doing something, and not just trivial things, but we want to actually get a mission to what God wants us to be all about, growing Christ, serving love, reaching the world. In other words, to put it more simply, we want to be a community that takes disciple-making seriously, but not just disciple-making seriously, but making disciples who will actually make disciples, because really, that's part of being a Christian. In fact, that's a Christian. A Christian's disciple. A Christian's disciple who makes disciple. And if you're a Christian, you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, guess what your work is? To make disciples of all nations. So what we want to be doing this year is really refocusing on this whole idea of not just being one community, but a community where people grow in Christ, serving Lord, reaching the world, in fact, becoming disciples, growing disciples, and so on and so forth. That being said, I think we've been doing a pretty good job at it. We've raised up many people become disciples through this church, and they themselves have gone to do some great work around the world, which is exciting. But the truth of the matter is sometimes we can lose focus. We can get distracted. And in fact, a lot of times, even with all the talk about making disciples and getting back on mission, it seems like we're not going anywhere. It seems like we're just spinning the wheel and just confused. In fact, a lot of people often ask me, where are we going? What's our vision? What are we doing? And so on like that. And so it seems that for all the talk, it seems that we're not going anywhere, or we don't know what we're doing. And that's a hard thing for any pastor to come to grips with, because, you know, despite all the hard work, you think you're going somewhere, but when you actually go and talk to the people, they're not quite clear what they're going. And I think there are three reasons why we seem to be going nowhere, why people are confused, or they're going a different direction. And that's because people, although despite the fact that we have been talking about disciple, people have very different understandings and different ideas of what it means to be a disciple. People have different ideas about how to make disciples. And these different ideas, or these confused ideas, therefore actually create different priorities, different programs, different directions. That's the first problem. The second problem that we have is that a lot of people don't know how to go from A to B. They don't know how to go from A to B. That is to say, one thing I often hear said to me again and again and again is, yeah, I'm hanging out with my non-Christian friends, but what do I do next? Oh, they become a Christian, but what do I do next? Oh, I'm grounding them and they're going through basic Bible stuff. What do I do next? What do I do next? What do I do next? And you know what that means? Is that people actually don't have clear pathways about how to lead a person from being an unbeliever to becoming a believer. And then from becoming a believer to actually growing as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. There, people don't have actually the next step. That is to say, they don't have pathways. Now, when we talk pathways, which I said to the leaders is a big thing that we're going to be focusing on, is that there are many reasons why we don't have pathways. And that is either because the pathways we have are very cluttered, that we cannot see where it is. Or sometimes we have very many different pathways that leads in all directions. But sometimes the bottom line is that we just don't even have pathways. We just don't even have pathways. So people don't know what to do. And the third problem that we have in our church, what I've observed, is that we often get people, we throw people in the deep end and ask them to swim, and we haven't actually taught them how to swim. We've told them to do something, but we haven't given them the tools. And so one thing that we found in our church is that people have different ideas, don't have clear pathway, don't have the tools. And so one of the things that we want to focus on this year is to have people have a clear and unified vision about making disciples. So everyone's on the same page, a clear and unified division around making disciples. So we're all not only simply saying the same words, but we mean the same thing by the words we say. That is to say, we all are on the same page what it means to make, what a disciple is. We're all on the same page about how to make disciples. And the second thing that we want to do is have very clear, simple, uncluttered pathways so that people know how to go from A to B. We want a very clear, simple pathways, uncluttered. You know, one of the problems I said about clutter is there's so much clutter in our church that people can't see where to go. We're so distracted, so busy, we cannot see the way forward. So we need to have a clear, uncluttered and simple pathway. And the thing that we also want to focus on this year is making sure that we tool up people to be able to do the work. Now, when we talk about tooling up people, equipping people, you know what we tend to equip people do? They're important things. We equip people how to do the PA, which is right, and to do the AV. We tool people how to make sure we do the COVID marshalling and do the musing and all those sorts of things. They're all good and proper things, and we need it. Without the COVID marshal, we wouldn't be able to hear. Without the people clean up, we wouldn't be able to do this sort of thing. But you know the thing that we don't do well? We haven't done really well? And that is tool up people, equip people, empower people to know how to make disciples themselves. Sure, we know how to do the COVID marshalling. Sure, we know how to do the music. Yeah, we know how to turn the PA system on and turn it off and get the microphone set up and word everything set up. We have not done a good job of equipping and prioritizing and helping people to know how to make disciples. So those are three things that we need to be focusing on this year. Those are the three things that we need to focus on this year. Clear, unified vision, clear pathways, and also tooling up people to be able to get on, to be able to know how to do this task here. That's the thing that we want to focus on. But I want to sort of, let's take a step back, right? When we talk about pathways, what do we mean by pathways, right? And this is something for all of us to understand. Now, I'm going to ask Dan to explain very simply and clearly, right, what these pathways that we're going to be focusing on for this year. Dan, are you there? I hope he's there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Dan, why don't you talk to us about the four pathways? Unfortunately, I don't have the slide, so you're just going to have to describe it for us.
All right, no worries. Oh man, I wish you told me. I could have shared screen. That's okay. I've got the handbook here, and I'll just show you guys the relevant page. All right, so we are talking about the discipleship pathway. Now, the key to understanding this is that we want to see being a disciple not as one place. Like before, I wasn't a Christian. Now I am a Christian. Congratulations. I'm a disciple and that's it. And you know, that's the end of that. But rather than that, being a disciple is actually a journey, a never ending process. As long as two things haven't happened, one, you haven't died, and two, Jesus hasn't returned yet, you are continuing to grow as a disciple. All right. And even after you've become a Christian, you're continuing to grow as a Christian, grow in maturity. And that's why we talk about it as a discipleship pathway. So is someone actually sharing screen now? Because I can just put it up to the camera here. Let's go with that. Okay. So this is how we're going to picture the discipleship pathway as a church. Okay. It's very easy to remember four words that all start with E, and they all follow on from one another, okay? So all the way on the left, you've got engage. Who is engage for? Well, very simply, it's for non-Christians who don't know, who aren't Christian yet, and they don't really have a relationship with Christians, never really quite been to church before. Well, if that's the case, what we want to do is, well, engage them. We want to build relationships with them, and this could be anybody in our lives. It could be our parents, our friends, our family, the people we work with, the people I buy coffee from down the street, et cetera, et cetera. We want to engage them. And once we have a genuine relationship with them, then we think, all right, well, how can I explain the gospel to them and tell them about who Jesus is and what he's done for them? That's evangelize. And then by God's grace, they're friends with Christians. They've heard the gospel and they go, you know what? This sounds good. I'm on board, right? I want to become a Christian. Well, then in between that green and the bluish gray is where you would find baptism class and, of course, baptism. We baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and they become a Christian. But then we don't just leave them in the lurch there, and then that's it. We establish them. And by establish, it simply means, all right, so I'm a Christian now. What do I do? What's life like? What's different about my life? How do I live as a Christian? This going to church thing, explain it to me. You know, this becoming godly thing and, you know, sin and you know, sin's a bad thing. I want to get rid of sin in my life. How do I do that? Teach me. That's establish, right? And not only that, we also want to empower them. Empower, what does that mean? What it basically means that we want people, once they become a disciple of Jesus, not only to just be a disciple, but also be making disciples. So someone who's empowered as a disciple of Jesus isn't just only thinking about themselves, they're thinking about everyone else around them. They're thinking outwardly. They're thinking, who are the non-Christians in my life that I can engage and establish, engage and evangelize? They're thinking, who are my brothers and sisters in church? Where are they on this pathway? What can I do to serve them and encourage them and bring them further along in the discipleship pathway? That is empowering, okay? Now, I think I didn't do this in the 9:15, but I think to give you an example of how this works, we really want everyone to be using this language and to have this as a common concept in our church, right? So the way that would work is you would have four questions, okay? The first two are, where am I and where am I going, okay? And you ask those two questions of yourself. So this is how you use the discipleship pathway for yourself. Where am I? Where am I going? For example, say you're sitting in the pews right now and you just became a Christian recently, like you were baptized a few months ago or whatever, and you hadn't even been to church for very long. Where am I? Well, I just moved from green to blue. I was evangelized and I'm kind of in established. So where am I going? What's next for me? Well, I need to find someone to help me to establish, to learn what it means to become a Christian. You know what? I'm going to ring up Pastor Dan and be like, you know, Pastor Dan, this is what we pay you for. I want to meet up with you, talk to you about how to read the Bible for myself, how to learn more about God, how to grow, right? That is, where am I and where am I going, right? And the other two questions, very similar, very easy to remember. Where are you and where are you going, all right? And that is, we don't just want to ask for ourselves. We want to ask for everyone else in church. So in my growth group, I've got meeting up with so-and-so. Hey, I see you every other week. We do Bible study. And then every now and then I say hi to you on Sundays. Let me ask you, brother. Let me ask you, my sister in Christ, where are you? How are things going with you? What's next for you? How can I be praying for you? How can I be shaping our conversations and chats around encouraging you to take the next step? All right. Am I going over, Ying? Can I just share one last thing real quick? I think this is really
one
good.
Last thing.
One last thing. Okay.
1 minute.
So some of you guys might know that I've recently befriended Alvin. Alvin, you guys know Alvin. He's like that fellow guy that we all know and love in our church, right? I knew him for a while, but I befriended his son. All right, so we started bonding around a sport that we both love. It's like the Olympic weightlifting, like you move weights and stuff like that, right? And and we've chatting around that. I text him a few times a week and we bond around this common hobby. All right. Well, how does discipleship pathway work into this? Well, I want to build a relationship with Alvin's son so that I can have a genuine friendship with him so that at some point I can tell him about who Jesus is and what he's done for him. And so having the pathway then gives me the words and the concepts and the ideas to know what to do next. Well, I'm engaging him and I want to evangelize, and I'm not doing it alone. I'm asking your prayers. I talk to Alvin about it. I talk to other people who might know him and his family about it so that together as a church, we use this to do discipleship together. So you see what I mean? When we have this in place and when we all understand how the four E's work, then we know how to have discussions around making disciples. Anyway, I think that was about a minute.
That's it. Thanks. Thanks, Dan. So three things that we want to prioritize, right? And we've got to get this in our clear in our minds. We need to be very clear and unified in what we mean about how to make disciples and what a disciple is, okay? And so we're going to have a teaching program that focuses on that sort of thing. It's interesting, over the next few weeks, the next 7 weeks, we're going to go through a series called Making Disciples. We're going to do that not only in the growth, in the preaching pulpit like that one, we're also going to grow that, do that in the growth groups, so that the what would come, what you hear in the pulpit is also being discussed in the growth groups. And that goes through a eight series, if I just cut it down to 7 weeks, about how to make disciples, what a disciple is, who makes a disciple, because we want to get everyone on the same page. If you're not in a growth group, then I encourage you, get in a growth group so that we can be on the same page with this sort of thing. I think Winston may be going through some sort of permutation of that through the youth, because we want the whole English ministry on that sort of thing. In the middle of the year, we're going to go through something called Six Steps to Loving Your Church, right? And why is that? Because we want to actually be a church that actually makes disciples. We want to be a church that grows disciples. And we want to be a church that actually welcomes people in who want to become a disciple. And that will not happen unless we know how to love our church. I think the truth of the matter, a lot of times when we actually come to church and we're very inward looking ourselves, and we're not actually very a loving church, not a very welcoming church. And we're not a welcoming church, then how can we get people in? And so what we're going to be doing is going through six steps to loving your church in the middle of the year. And that's something that we will go do in the pulpit and, again, in our growth groups. And then towards the end of the year, we're going to be working on the generosity project. Again, thinking about how to actually be raising money. Whether we like it or not, money is a big thing. It's a litmus test of where we are and how we think about big issues. So we want to go through the generosity project again from the pulpit 6 weeks, but we also want to talk about it in our growth groups, because we want to think seriously about how we can use money for the sake of the gospel, right? Then after that, we're going to go through a series on Ezra and Nehemiah, talking about coming home, because that's going to be an important series. And then 1 Peter, looking at the living hope. But you know what? It's not just about the programs that begin running. We actually want people to start praying, because we don't just simply want people to go run through these programs, because at the end of the day, it's still a work of God. And what does the work of God mean? It means that we are starting to pray. We've got to be saturating the whole thing in prayer. And one thing we want to be focusing, encouraging everyone doing in from the pulpit and also in our growth groups and in conversations, who are you actually praying for? Who are you praying for? You know what I see most people, we're just praying for our sort of warts and our boils and our problems. But do we actually pray for the lost? Well, we want to get serious about praying, because in the end, it's God who leads people to prayer, to leads people to himself. And so we want to encourage everyone to start thinking about two people that you can be praying for. Now, if you're like me, well, most people, if you've been in church long enough, you probably don't have any non-Christian friends. And so what should you do? Not pray? No, you ask God to open your eyes to see who are the non-Christian friends around you. A lot of times we don't know, but there are non-Christians around you that you can actually invite, that you can start asking God to put on your heart to an opportunity for you to be able to share the gospel to them. So we want everyone to be praying, both in the in the growth groups, in conversations and so on. And the last thing, we want to be everyone to connecting. Spend time intentionally going out and connecting with your non-Christian friends. You know, the problem I find is I'm so busy. We're so busy doing church thing and the world outside is lost. We need to actually clear our diary, clear our calendar, and actually take steps to go out intentionally, strategically, to actually make genuine friendships, like what Dan was talking about, going out and making time to make friends. It was interesting, even myself, I was thinking about that. I look at my calendar, it's so busy. Then I actually thought, no, I've got to stop. I've got to ring this person up and think about how I engage with that person. In fact, I might get Winston just share a couple of examples in his own life. Dan shared one. I'll get Winston to share a few.
Okay, cool. Hi, everyone. So let me just share a quick story. One of the things that I love to do, well, I used to love doing before I got injured, was play basketball. And so in my old church, I thought I wanted to find some people to play basketball with. So I just went around door knocking, looking for some young people who would want to play basketball. And that was just one way for me to try and meet new people, make new friends. and engage with them. And so I did manage to get a few people who wanted to play basketball. And the cool thing was they had a great time and they started inviting their friends to come and play basketball. And I thought, you know what? I want to do more than just play basketball with them. I actually want to try and open up opportunities to get to know them better, to build a better friendship with them, and open up opportunities to share the gospel with them. So I thought I've got to go deeper with them. So let's do more than play basketball. We started to go out after basketball, have dinner together, hang out, have a drink, watch the footy. Every now and then we might watch some NBA together. And then one day, one of my friends gave me a call and said, out of the blue, said, hey, look, I've got a day off. I'd love to have lunch with you. I just want to talk to you about something. And he opened up and he said, look, hey, I know you're a pastor. I'm having a problem in my marriage. And I got chatting with him and it was pretty incredible. We started to become closer friends. I was able to help him a little bit and share from a Christian perspective about marriage. And as we just got on hanging out, playing basketball, one of the things that developed after that was we started to connect our families, and our families connected, our wives connected, our children connected, started playing with each other. And what happened recently is one of my friends from the basketball crew gave us a call and said, hey, what are you doing Australia Day? Do you want to just bring your family over and hang out? So it wasn't just from my perspective, engaging with them, but then they started engaging with me. Another cool thing that happened on that day was they brought new friends on that day to hang out. And so I was able to meet new people and engage with new people. And that's a pretty cool thing about engaging. Really, what is it? Engaging is just simply doing what you love doing, hobbies, whatever it is, and inviting friends to come and hang out with you and do it with you. And who knows what people God brings into that. So let me encourage you, do what you love doing and just bring people along to do it with you.
Fantastic. That's what we want everyone doing. We don't want everyone just to be so busy at church, you don't have time for those outside of church. We actually want you intentionally, purposely give time to meeting people outside the church. Why is that? Because we want to make disciples of all nations, and the nations are not in this church. The nations are outside, and we're going to make disciples of them. We've got to go out there, give them the time, spend time with them. There are lots of opportunity, and we need to be praying now to actually put for God to help us to see who they are and for God to put in our hearts that we want to share the gospel to them and give us opportunities. And you know what? We want to do that now because in the middle of the year, we want to also have an event where we actually bring our non-Christian friends together to hear the gospel. That's not going to happen unless we start that prayer now and start that connecting. Because my experience in many years, I would organize things is that we can organize the event. If it's not saturated in prayer, if it just doesn't 6 months early, nothing ever happens. We've just wasted our time organizing a great event, but no one comes along to that sort of thing. So that's what we want to be doing in terms of actually a sort of program. So make sure we're clear on what we're clear and unified our vision, making sure that we have clear pathways, uncluttered, simple pathways, engaging the simple one, an event later on in the year, and also training. We'll talk a bit more about that later on. You know, we want to make disciples of all people, of all generations. But the other thing that we want to do is to make disciples from generations to generations. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I want to throw a concept to you called multi-generational churches versus intergenerational churches. Multi-generations versus intergenerational. Many churches set up to be multi-generational. And you know what that means? Is that we have specific ministries targeted for different generational groups. We have FY ministry, Sunday school, young marriage, young families, all that. We've got the whole kin caboodle of sorts of things. We have senior sinners. We've got lion dancing for the old retirees and so on and so forth. You know, one thing haven't done well is that we haven't built intergenerational ministries. Now, why is that important? Because we want to make disciples not only for one season of life, but we want to make disciples where people continue to grow as disciples from season to season to season to season, from season until the very end. We want people to be walking with Jesus, growing like Jesus, loving Jesus, serving Jesus, not only when they're high school at university, but even in their nursing home times. And I think I'll tell you that you will all go there, right? I can tell you that. I'm trying to look forward to finding a space for myself soon, right? Okay. How is that going to be possible? Because you need to build intergenerational ministries. Now, what do we mean by intergenerational ministry? Let me tell you what a typical scenario happens in churches, right? In churches, you have people who say, let's take high school, right? They're in high school. It's a great time. We do youth ministry. And guess what? After high school, most people, generally speaking, particularly Asians, they go to university. You know what happens at university? They're hit with a whole new world of things they never confronted when they're high school. You know what generally happens? 70% of those who become Christians high school drop out at university. 70%. Why? Because they were never prepared to know what it means to be a disciple in high school and university. And those who are left behind, okay, we work with a few who are left behind. We get that we really help them to grow as disciples at university. You know what happens next? They hit the workplace. And you know what happens at the workplace? Another 70% drop out when they hit the workplace. That's scary. And why is that? Because while they were helping them to think about what it means to be a Christian at university, we didn't prepare them for the next season of life when they actually go in the workplace, because then they're confronted with a whole new world of questions and issues and challenges they never had to confront when they're at university or high school. Most people drop out. And then when they hit the workplace, get what happens the next season of life? Many of them get into relationships. They struggle in relationships. How do I relate to this girl? And how do I relate to the boy? And how do I talk to this particular person who's so different to me? And then they get married. That's a new set of challenges. And then they have kids. That itself is another set of challenges. And then when the kids grow up and they face teenagers, that's another challenge. You talk to Annabelle's mum, right? Is that right, Annabelle's mum? Annabelle? The kids grow up and become teenagers. And then when the kids grow up, that's another challenge for the parents and so on and so forth. You see, the reality is that we go through different seasons of life. That's a reality. But what we want to do is help people grow as disciples through those different seasons of life. How do we help them grow through those different seasons of life? You know what people often ask? Who can I talk to? Who can I talk to wrestle with the workplace? Who can I talk to talk about my relationship with my girlfriend or boyfriend? Who can I talk to help me understand what marriage is all about? Who can I talk to understand what it means to be a Christian parent? Who can I talk to now that I've got all my bones falling apart? Who can I talk to? And you know who they can talk to? They can talk to someone who's ahead of them. Talk to someone who's been there and done that. Someone who's gone through all the trials and someone who understands and have conquered it. They're the people that you want to talk to. So I've got young kids in high school who are talking to me about the next season. I've got people talking to me about relationships and about marriage and parenting because I've been there, done that. But we have the way we have set up our churches, we separated that. And in separating, you know what that means? When people are not prepared to go to the next season of life and they're not prepared to know what it means to be a disciple in that season of life. So what we need to be doing is not only building and making disciples of all generations, we've got to actually do something to build disciples through all the different senses of life, intergenerational. And I think the way we have set up church, that is, that segregated the different age groups and different generations, actually worked against helping people to grow to be disciples through every season of life. So one of the big things that we want to change, and an idea I want to throw to you, is that we want to do some radical changes this year. Not now, but sometime this year, where we basically are rebuilding our service, all three services, and to rebuild two new, brand new morning intergenerational services that will attract not only the older people, but also the high school, the FY, the young adults, the young workers, the young marriage, the young families, every season of life. Why is that? because we believe that if we want to make disciples, not of all generations, not just of all generations, but of from generation to generation, helping them to grow through the different seasons of life. And so that's what we want to be doing. We want to actually build, from three main, from three services, 9, 11, and 4, to actually bring everyone together again, go back to the drawing table, go back to the playing table. Everyone comes in with their voice and say, what do we need to do? Blank slate, what do we need to do to build new intergenerational services in the morning services that will actually attract young and old and old and young, where they can actually learn to serve each other and learn to serve with each other. That's what we're going, to do. Now, how are we going to do that? Is that going to happen overnight? I'm going to ask Winston to tell us how we're going to roll that out.
He gets a hard job.
Okay, so it's not going to happen overnight. We did actually lay out a very clear implementation roadmap with the leaders for the previous Saturday, but we got a lot of feedback from that. And we've decided that, as we'd always planned actually, to go through a phase of listening and hearing your feedback about it. So that roadmap is changed now. So the next phase, we've shared this idea with you. The next phase is we want to hear your concerns. We want to hear your questions. We want to try and answer those questions clearly. We're going to provide clear opportunities for to do that. There's going to be some Q&A evenings. And the pastors are going to go also to the growth groups to chat about this with you. We're going to hear your feedback, and we're going to develop a plan where we will trial these this new intergenerational services in the morning. And as we trial those services, we're going to keep getting your feedback, listening to you, and improving the trial and making it better and better until we all understand why we want to make these changes and get to a point where we're all comfortable, we're happy with it. And once we're there, we'll then work out how to make that change permanent. So that's the general process. It's not going to happen overnight. We love you. We want to listen to you, and we want to bring you along in this journey. And we want to hear all of your concerns, all of your feedback along the way.
Thanks, Winston. In other words, when we begin, as we begin this year, it is not, I'll say it very loud and clear, it's not business as usual. It's not just spinning the wheel and doing the same thing over and over again. We actually want to take making disciples and growing disciples seriously. We want to take making disciples and growing disciples through the different seasons of life to the very end seriously. We want to take making disciples and growing disciples through different seasons of life so that we can reach the nations seriously. So what do we need to be doing for that? We need to therefore be very clear and have a unified vision around making disciples. We want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Not different pages, same word, but all on the same page. So that's why we want to come to our Sunday service, hear them what we're on about, join our growth groups to make sure that we're talking the same language. Two, we want to make sure that we want to create those clear pathways, simple, clear, and uncluttered pathways. So one thing we're going to do, declutter our ministry, declutter things that we can see where we want to go. And thirdly, we want to tool people up so that we can empower you guys to reach the world. Not just me reaching the world, not our church, but you guys making disciples so that you can make disciples in your workplace, in your family, your neighbors, wherever you are. And we want to, as I said, want to actually make disciples, not just of all generations, but of all seasons. And so therefore, it's not business as usual. We want to do some big changes in this church. We're going to stagger those changes, do it slowly, but we do want to see some changes happen because we want to be serious about making disciples, not just all generations, but from generations to generations through all the different seasons of life and something like that. So I'm going to ask Dan, who's going to, Phoebe, I'm going to ask Phoebe to commit this church to God in prayer. So over to you, Phoebe.
So I'm now going to pray for all of us. If you're comfortable, please bow down your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we acknowledge that our help is in your name alone. We are sinful by nature and cannot save ourselves. But because of your great love, you have sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our own sins. Thank you because you are not just always present, but is also actively working in our hearts to change us into becoming the kind of people you want us to be. May this reminder give us the desire to share the gospel to others. As a church, we pray that our vision of being one community, growing in Christ, serving in love, reaching the world would always guide the decisions we make, and that we will be a church that is focused and determined, a church that takes the Great Commission seriously, and a church willing to make the sacrifices necessary to see this happen. We also pray for our pastors that you would give them wisdom as they seek to refocus and restructure the whole English ministry. Guide them as they will model what they want the church to do. Continue to give them the strength and the heart to teach and lead the church in making disciples. For we want to be a church that is truly engaging with those outside the church, taking steps to evangelize them, helping to establish new believers' faith, and empowering the rest to make disciples of all nations. We also pray for us here individually, that you would always remind us of the work that is needed to be done and not to be easily distracted. Give us the boldness to share the gospel to others. Work in us, Father, that even if we're shy or inexperienced, that the mighty power of the Holy Spirit will give us the sense of urgency and conviction to share the good news. Give us wisdom and teach us what words to say. Help us to also be sensitive to opportunities of sharing your word. Teach us, Lord, that we will be more intentional and that gospel sharing will become an important part of our daily lives. In everything we pray, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.